Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Aleph. I would like to award Sefer Daniel one of the most underappreciated books of the Tanakh in the modern era. It is rarely learned in school, and seems that only through amazing programs such as Torah Timecha do we open this book. However, this is a very significant Sefer. It gives us a tremendous sweep of Jewish history at the time while predicting many events in both the near and far future. Unfortunately, it has also been interpreted by other faiths to validate their own beliefs. It is because of this, perhaps, that we have the commentary of Rashi on the entire book. When I taught Divrei Hayamim Aleph in the last cycle of the OU Women's Initiative Nach Yomi, I had to be careful to say the commentary attributed to Rashi when relevant, as we know Rashi was nifter before the writing of that perush. Here, however, even though we have documentation that Rashi passed away before the completion of Sefer Iov, which appears before Daniel, it seems that he skipped ahead to complete Sefer Daniel. Perhaps he did this so that the Jewish people would have answers when confronted by their non-Jewish neighbors with their own unique interpretations. Sefer Daniel might also contain secrets about the timing of the ultimate redemption. The Gemara in Megillah 3a discusses the various Aramaic translations of Tanakh. When Yonatan ben Uziel completed his translation of Nevi'im, there was a great earthquake and Hashem called out, "Who is this who has revealed my secrets to mankind?" Yonatan ben Uziel defended his actions and requested to translate Ketuvim as well. He was denied permission due to the secrets contained within about the final days of Mashiach, which Rashi specifies as being in Sefer Daniel. Before delving in, I would like to acknowledge the shiurim of Rav Yitzchak Breidowitz on the OU website, and also the VBM articles of Harav Yaakov Meidan of Yeshivat Har Etzion for their invaluable help in learning this complex Sefer. From the very first line of Sefer Daniel, we are presented with an enigma. At what point in Jewish history does the story of Daniel actually take place? It seems clear from the pasuk. Bishnat shalosh lemachut Yehoyakim, melech Yehuda, ba Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, v'yitzar aleha. In the third year of the reign of Yehoyakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. While it seems at first glance that the events in this parak occurred in the third year of Yehoyakim, there are conflicting accounts within other Sfarim of the Tanakh itself. Yirmiyahu states in the opening of Perek Chafhei, "The word which came to Yirmiyahu concerning the entire people of Yehuda in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, son of Yeshayahu, king of Yehuda, which was the first year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." When was it? If Nebuchadnezzar rose to power in the fourth year of the reign of Yehoyakim, how could he have laid siege to Jerusalem in the third year of Yehoyakim's reign? There are two accepted approaches which lead to very different conclusions and timelines. According to Ibn Ezra, Yirmiyahu and Daniel use two different dating systems, but equal the same year, relatively early in Yehoiakim's 11-year reign. Rashi, however, bases his explanation on the Midrash Seder Olam, which understands our opening pasuk to be describing the third year of Yehoiakim's rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, which is in fact the 11th and final year of his reign as king of Yehuda. It might be a good idea to review the end of Malachim to see all the kings and their relationships to each other and to the rising Babylonian superpower. In terms of what is most relevant to our Sefer, Yehoyakim is the son of the final independent king of Yehuda, Yoshiyahu, and the father of his successor, Yehoyachin, who reigned for 3 months and was imprisoned in Babel for 37 years. After the death of Yehoyakim, Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Vav, Psukim He through Tchet, describes the first of several exiles in which Yehoyakim and vessels from the Beit HaMikdash were exiled to Babylon. Our Sefer mentions Yehoyakim and the vessels in Pasuk Bet. Ve'yiten Hashem biyado et Yehoyakim, melech Yehuda, Umiktsat klei beit ha'elokim, vayvi'em eretz shin'ar beit elohav, ve'et ha'kelim hevi beit otzar elohav. And the Lord delivered Yehoyakim, the king of Yehuda, and some of the vessels of the house of Hashem into his hand, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his god, and the vessels he brought to the treasury of his god. Shinar is another name for Babylon, Babel. Although it is not a common name in the Tanakh, it most noticeably appears as the name of the location of the Tower of Babel. We can see that Daniel adds new information to the account in Divrei Hayamim, which includes a specific group of people. Psukim Gimel and Dalet of Daniel read, Vayomer HaMelech LaAshpenaz, Rav Srisav, Lehavi Mibnei Yisrael Umizerah Melucha Umin Hapart Tamim, Yeladim Asher Ein Behem Kolmum, V'tovei Mar'eh, Umaskilim B'kol Chochma, V'yodei Da'at Umivinei Mada, V'asher Koch Behem Lamod B'Heichal HaMelech, Ulamdam Sefer Ulashon Kastim. Then the king said to Ashpenaz, his chief officer, to bring from the children of Israel, from the royal seed, and from the nobles, youths in whom there is no blemish, of handsome appearance, who understand all wisdom, who are erudite in knowledge, who understand how to express their thoughts, and who have strength to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the script and the language of the Chaldeans. To fully appreciate the characters of Daniel and his friends, it is important to note, as related in Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf Dalet, that it was only during the exile of Jehoiachin that the Babylonians brought out not only more vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, but also all the officers and all the mighty warriors, 10,000 exiles, and all the craftsmen and sentries of the gates. Rashi explains that the craftsmen and sentries were actually the great Torah scholars of the time. This means that Daniel and his friends, who were exiled before that time, were alone without any parents or community leaders to guide them. It is in this context that they are left to fend for themselves in the king's palace, where they are given Babylonian names. Rashi explains that Daniel is named for a Babylonian god, as well as a daily portion of the king's food and of the wine that he drank. How will they maintain their own religious identity under such scrutiny of the king and his servants? Pasukhet tells us, Vayasem Daniel alibo asher lo yitzga'al bepat bag hamelech ubeyen mishtav, veyivakesh misar hasarisim asher lo yitzga'al. Daniel resolved not to be defiled by the king's food or by the wine he drank, so he requested of the king's chief officer that he should not be defiled. The chief officer has mercy on Daniel, but worries what the king will say when he sees the youths emaciated and clearly not eating their allotment of food. Not only is he worried about the youths, but also for his own life, as it would appear he was disobeying the king. Daniel devises a plan wherein the officer will give them a 10-day trial of eating seeds and water to see if it will sustain them. Not only did they satisfy their appetites with this diet, but they were even more handsome than the other youths. The Ben Ish Chai relates in his section on the laws of Chanukah that there was a tradition to eat seeds on the holiday of Purim in celebration of this miracle, since it took place during the same era as our Sefer, albeit much earlier. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hashem gifts Daniel and his friends with knowledge and understanding in every script and wisdom, and Daniel understood all visions and dreams. When he is finally brought to the king in Pesukim Yud Tet and Kaf, Nebuchadnezzar is very impressed and sees that they are 10 times better than all the necromancers and astrologers in all his kingdom. Just as we began with a question about dates, so too do we end. The final pasuk tells us until when Daniel remained in the royal palace. Vayhi Daniel ad shnat echat lekoresh hamelech. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. While it might seem clear, there are actually 2 Cyruses. Rashi uses the Gemara in Megillah 15a, which understands that Chatach, King Ahasuerus' chamberlain, whom he appointed to Esther, was actually Daniel. Rashi explains, and Daniel was there in greatness in Babylon until the first year of King Cyrus. According to the one who says that Chatach, mentioned in Esther, Perek Dalet Pasuk He, Vav, Tet, and Yud, is Daniel, and why was he called Chatach? Because he was cut off, chatachuhu, from his greatness. According to his explanation, we must say that this is Cyrus I, who preceded Ahasuerus. But according to the one who says that all royal affairs were decided, nechtachim, by his orders, we must say that this Cyrus was Darius II, who came after Ahasuerus, and in the days of Darius the Mede, when they cast Daniel into the lion's den, he was not demoted from his greatness, as it is said, Vav Kaftet, and this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. We learn that during the days of Cyrus the First, he was still in his greatness. These differing views place Daniel during totally different reigns and with totally different statures, depending on which king he served. In any case, it is comforting to know that according to the Midrash, he had a role in Esther's successes. This parak introduces us to Daniel. While the dates might be confusing, Daniel's stellar midot and his commitment to Torah and mitzvot are clear. Daniel should continue to serve as a role model to us as we live our lives in Galut. Thank you for studying together Ilui Nishmat Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.